With God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Matthew 19, 27.
He just spoke the world into being. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah, church.
Amen.
Just worship Him for a moment, church.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're always there.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you,
I say to my people this day, awake, awake, awake out of your sleep and your slumber. For I, the Lord God, am going to do a new thing. But you must wake up. You have been slumbering long enough, saith God. For I will show you that I am God. That I am that I am. I am preparing my church for my return. It is no time, saith the Lord, for you to slumber. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, I just felt the freshness. I felt God renewing some spirits and souls in this place. Now, I want you to just clear your mind and let God do something for you that no other thing. Those things that some of us are seeking, they bring temporary pleasure. But I want to tell you the things of God is eternal, and He will freshen and renew this. You this morning. But it is so important that we just relax and let God have His way. Get out of God's way this morning and let God be God. And just breathe in the Holy Ghost. Breathe in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Breathe out your troubles. Breathe in the Holy Ghost. Breathe out your depression. Breathe in the Holy Ghost. Breathe out the disease and the things that has you bound.
Amen.
And let God be God.
Amen.
Let God be God.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Gentle shepherd.
Gentle shepherd, come and hear.
need him.
Yes, we do.
To help us find our way. I have wandered and wasted so many years of my life walking in darkness. You can't find your way in the dark now, I'm telling you. Unless you're like Audrey. Audrey has been in darkness as far as her eyesight, but she has the light of Jesus shining forth in her. We're going to be bringing you the message here. My beloved brother, Vic, lead us into something.
All of it. I'm sorry, Lord, for the family, Lord, it was all on me. All on you, Jesus. Somebody say amen. I need your help to help me preach this morning.
Amen.
Jesus gave a call to repentance in this chapter. Now, let's see what happened that I have preached so far pretty strong to you. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You know, the people that came to Jesus, they couldn't figure out why these good people were killed and that Pilate had shed their blood with the sacrifices of the pagans. And they thought, these people didn't do anything wrong. So why did they have to be martyred? Why did they have to be killed? Let me tell you something today, folks, and get the record straight, that bad things happen to good people. And the good and bad mixed together, and that's what we have in this world. We have the good and the bad mixed together, and all without Jesus will die and go to hell. But God has provided a way of escape. And why do we want to ignore that and live our life the way we want to? I've asked myself many times, Buck, why did you just keep on and on? You had a praying mother. You had a Holy Ghost-filled mother. You had a mother that lived a godly life, and you knew right from wrong. Why did you keep on in your way? It's because I did not have the courage enough to repent. And I had to be broke. I preached the message on a fine horse needs to be broke. And if you don't break that horse, and that horse has some faults, sooner or later it's going to dump you or cause bodily harm or even take your life as it did Superman. We have to be broke so that we don't pull a stunt like that horse did with him. We have to be completely broke, and that's what brings repentance. John the Baptist preached repentance, and Jesus had not even died on the cross or shed his blood yet. But John was saying, when you come to a point in your life where you're ready to say, I'm sorry, Lord, I know I've been wrong. When you can come to a person and know that you've done them wrong and you have the courage to repent, good things happen through repentance. Boy, do good things happen through repentance. I pulled some real stunts in my marriage over 22 years with Nikki, but I found the secret. As soon as God convicts me that I've said or done the wrong thing, and I come to her and I tell her I'm sorry, church, I'm telling you, repentance brings me such joy. Amen. Things are so much better when you make things right. And think how much more when you make things right with God. You're a good person. Maybe you don't deliberately hurt people. But that goodness is as filthy rags before a holy God. And God wants you to come to Him and accept His wonderful gift of forgiveness. Well, kissing and making up is really good. Y'all that are married know what I'm talking about. Oh, man, it's so fine. When you kiss and make up and say, I'm sorry. And you know, most of the time when you tell somebody you're sorry, they'll say, I'm sorry too. I'm sorry too. And then that's when the butter starts melting on the ear of corn, honey, and gets ready to eat because you have made things right, and that person is ready to make things right with you. And it's the same way when you repent before God. You escape the pits of hell. You make things right with God by your repentance through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so these disciples and other people were coming to Jesus and said, why did these good people have to die? Listen, why do good people have to suffer with cancer? Why do families have to be broke? Why do men and women have to hurt each other and destroy children's lives? Why? It's because there's one thing lacking, and that's repentance for what they've done. When somebody tells me they're sorry, I don't think about it twice. It's forgiven, and I try to forget about it. Psalms 18, verse 4, upon whom the Tyre and Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Jesus said these words out of his beautiful mouth. He said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And one of the things that keeps people from repenting is that old pride in their life. They just can't bring themselves to say, I made a mistake. I've done something wrong. They can't bring themselves to say, I'm going to try to do better. Will you forgive me? I'm truly sorry. And you know, when you repent of something, you try your best not to make that same mistake again. And if you do, you still have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous judge. He's interceding on our behalf. He's interceding on our behalf. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit, and he found none. Let me ask you something very seriously, whether you're an old person like me or you're young or in between. If you had to stand before Jesus today and give an account of how you're living your life, how you're sharing the blessings that God's given you, how that you're loving your spouse, how you're loving your neighbor, if you had to give an account, would there be any fruit in your life to prove that you were doing what God has asked you to do? Would there be something in your life that's keeping you from producing the kind of fruit, the spirits of the fruit? Is there something in your life that you would be a fig tree but there'd be no fruit? Let me ask you this today. You know why I'm asking you this? Because I've already asked myself this, and I found that I came up short. I found out that there are times when I'm not as nice as I ought to be to people. There are times when I say and do the wrong thing, and somehow I never find time to go and tell that person I'm sorry. And you know, we have to be broken. I want God to break me. I want to be the kind of person that when God says jump, I jump. I want to be the kind of person, if God says, here, you give that person something, I want without question, well, am I going to have to do without next week? But I go ahead and give it to that person. I want to have a church that my life will be without spot or blemish. I want to have a church that reaches out to people and don't expect anything in return. I want to see a church that's making a difference in people's lives. There are people all around us that are suffering today. There are people that would love to be in the house of God this morning if someone were to come and pick them up. My desire is if a person wants to come to church, now I don't care if they're across town. I don't care if reasonable. I want our church to do our best to bring that person to church. I thank God that Shirley has a way to get to church. We make sure somebody goes and picks Shirley up. I thank God that this sweet lady that works at the consulate, she got these people ready for church today. Made sure, and look, they look nice, they smell nice, they're dressed nice. Thank God for people that care. Thank God for people that God is using to make a difference in this old sinful world full of trouble and hatred and bitterness. Thank God. And it's because somewhere down the line, that person that's doing good has had to repent.
Amen.
You don't become a vessel that God can use without repentance and realizing people need the Lord. People need to be willing to say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Then said he unto the dresser, verse 7 of the vineyard, behold, I've been coming here for 3 years, and I come seeking some fruit on this fig tree, and I don't find any. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? He's saying, why bother this thing? It's just sucking up nourishment from the earth. It's using the oxygen and carbon dioxide. It's not doing any good for nothing. It's not worthy to even be alive. Cut it down. But the dresser said in verse 8, he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. I need to fertilize it, dig around it, give it another chance. Folks, do you hear what I'm saying? The Bible says that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He is the dresser of the vineyard. And he's saying, Father, give that person another day. Father, give that person another week. I'm working on them. Do you know that Jesus is working in you and on you and around you on your behalf to bring you to a point to where you'll make it into heaven and be saved? He said, and if it bears fruit, and if not, then after that, then we'll cut it down. Then we'll cut it down. Amen. You see, the Lord, no matter how far in sin you've gone, no matter what has happened in your life, and maybe you are a bad person, I don't know. And, it's not any of my business, but it's God's business. And God wants you to repent and start living the kind of life that the devil says, you don't want to do that. Them Christians, man, they don't get to do anything. Folks, I want to tell you, being a child of God, you can walk from glory to glory. You can walk in heavenly places here on earth. And you can walk above the cares and the problems of this life. And you can be what God can use to help others see that Satan has lied and deceived you all of those years, and you're sick and tired of it. You're ready to ask God to forgive you and receive the abundant life that is promised through this Word of God, so that when the Father looks at you, there's something good coming out of your life.
Amen.
So many people, if they really examine their life, to see that there's nothing good coming out. There's nothing good coming out. Oh, you might be nice to people and do this and do that, but you know what? You're working to please yourself. And that's the first thing you die to when you give your life to Jesus. When you repent of your sins and receive Christ, you are born again. The old man has died. You're not the same person you used to be. And God, sometimes it takes years and years for God working on you in a way that you can understand. Some people say, I just fail and mess up every day. Well, come, shake the preacher's hand. I do the same thing. I mess up every day. But you know what? God's still working on me, and He'll still work on you. Don't give up the ship. Don't jump board. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit fighting. Don't quit trying to do what's right. Jesus said, if you come to me and confess your sin, I am faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. I've been delivered. This world don't have a hold on me, even though sometimes it does mess me up in my way of acting and thinking. But I know that if I repent, I'm not going to perish. What would you give in exchange for your soul? You work hard all your life to retire, and then you get too old. When you got the money, then you can't enjoy your retirement. So I made up my mind. I know I'm getting old. I know I'm 72, but I'm not going to retire. And I'm not working for on down the road. I'm living for Jesus today, and I'm going to give Him all I got. And bless God, Satan ain't got a hold on me, and God's going to take me exactly where I need to go. And I'm going to enjoy the trip. Some people ain't enjoying the trip. But I'm telling you here today, church, that God has got good things for His people. And you don't have to wait to get to heaven to get some of it. Every now and then, heaven might be to me like lemon meringue pie. And I love it. If I was in West Virginia preaching this message, At the church up there, I preached about pork rinds, how I love pork rinds. As soon as I got home, there was a bag of pork rinds hanging on the door. And it wouldn't bother me if you wanted to bring a lemon meringue pie hanging over there on that butter. But I want to tell you, comparing heaven, which is stupid to compare it like this, but lemon meringue pie, as much as I love it, God's let me lick the bowl down here. You ever lick the bowl?
Yes.
Let me see your hands if you ever lick the bowl. Amen. Amen.
I have a bowl of liquor.
I tell you what, and those, what you call it, the mixers with the little beaters.
I got that too.
I learned to just wrap my tongue around that thing two or three times to get every bit of it out. We have the Holy Ghost. We have Him right here, right now. We are getting a taste of heaven. The Holy Ghost, He is the promise of a better day like we've never seen before. And He is the promise of the one that will lead and guide us into all truth. He is our all in all, the Spirit of truth and our comforter.
Amen.
Good and bad alike. Without repentance, going to hell. I said that at the beginning. You know, sometimes people say, well, that preacher, he just, you know, he just whoops us to death with the word. And I'm proud to do that. I'd like to whoop you to where you come and repented of your sins, got saved and got on fire for Jesus and become part of the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may be backslid. I'd like to offer you to come to the altar right now. Let me pray with you. It's so important that you don't walk out of here without knowing you're saved. I want you to come right now. More important, God wants you to come. So I'll cherish that old rugged cross.
Amen.
I pray that you're convicted today and the way that you're thinking, well, I'm just doing this right and doing that right. I may have faults and all, but God will overlook that. No, He won't. You need to repent and get right with God. Amen? So, you know, I put out there what God put in my heart for this Sunday. There's somebody here that needs Jesus. God's word will accomplish what it was put out to do today.